We've been studying a series of lessons on people God needs, and we're going to continue that this morning. This morning we're going to look at the topic, God needs people who think as well as feel. God needs people who think as well as feel. It seems that our society is obsessed with feelings. How do you feel about that? It doesn't matter anymore what's right or wrong. It's all about how you feel about it. We all like to feel good. I know I do. I think that's a safe assessment of human beings, that we like to feel good. We like to have pleasant feelings. In fact, God created us with emotion. He created us to have those feelings and to have that wide range of emotion. And God wants us to enjoy life. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to be full. He wants us to enjoy life. So let's talk about those emotions. Let's study a little bit about what the Bible says regarding those emotions. Now we know that God created emotions, and for that, and they were one of the things that He said was good. But we need to realize when it comes to our emotions, our emotions are not inherently good or bad as an emotion itself. Now, we might think of that that's not accurate. A lot of people think, well, anger is a bad emotion, or jealousy is a bad emotion, but that love is a good emotion. Well, people think that way, but that's not necessarily true. There are times when it's good to be angry, and there are other times when it's good not to love. Now that sounds a little backwards, doesn't it? We've got these things categorized. These are bad emotions. You should never feel this way. But these over here are good emotions, and as long as you feel that way, everything will be okay. My people have been using these kinds of things to justify all manner of things. Well, I know that God says that we should be engaged sexually before we're married, but I love him. So it's okay. It must be right. What's that old song? It feels so good, it can't be wrong. It feels so right, it can't be wrong. Yes, it can. Feelings are not always right. Feelings can deceive us. We need to watch out for that. As an example of that, let's look at Acts 22, verses 3 and 4. Here's the Apostle Paul talking about himself. He says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. Now notice what he says then. And was zealous toward God. Well, zeal, that's a good emotion, isn't it? To be full of enthusiasm and excitement. I was zealous, he said. Zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. Now notice just how zealous he was. And I persecuted this way, that's the Christian way, unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Feels good, right? And was it good that Paul was zealous in throwing Christians in prison? Was that good? No, that's not good. See, excitement and an overflow of emotion, when it's not properly directed, can be harmful. It can be wrong. It can be sinful. Paul was committing sin, even though he himself says, I was zealous toward God. I had all of the enthusiasm serving God, with all my heart, or so he thought. And in the process of doing that, he was persecuting the church. He was persecuting the followers of Christ. We have to beware that our excitement, that our enthusiasm, and our emotions don't get out of hand. Another example of this is in Romans 10, 2 and 3, where Paul talks about his fellow Jews. He says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." They're enthusiastic. They're excited. They have emotion. They really get into the spirit of things. But notice what he says. "But not according to knowledge." And then verse 3 says, "For they be ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." You see, this is the state of the religious world in our country and around the world is in today. They're zealous for God. Oh, they're so excited. But without the knowledge. And being ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about and make their own righteousness. When we do that, we're not submitting ourselves to the righteousness of God. We cannot allow ourselves to just go along with the excitement, with the energy, and the zeal, and the enthusiasm, and the emotion, and get carried away. Thinking about these emotions, whether they're good or bad, you know, it used to be, years ago, that when they had a sporting event of some sort, there was always the danger that the losing team's fans would be so upset that they could do something destructive. I mean, that's been going on probably since the gladiatorial games back in Rome. But it's always been the case, even 100 years ago. The losing team, their fans might get upset, and they might do something to destroy or to tear. But not anymore. Now it's the winning team's fans that we have to worry about. When Detroit, Chicago won the basketball championship in the NBA, their fans, not the losing team's fans, but the winning team's fans, were the ones that went out and turned cars over and started fires. Well, they were so excited. But they didn't channel their excitement in the right way. They destroyed. And they tore down and they caused harm and injury and even loss of life because they were so excited. Now see, we already established emotions in and of themselves are not bad. They were one of those things that God created and He said it's good. But it was good conditionally on how they're used. How are those emotions to be used? We have to be sure that we don't allow them to just run amok. Because even good emotion, it's good to be happy when your team does something good. It's good to be excited when the gospel is being taught. It's good to be excited when we're singing songs of praise to the Lord. It's good to have that excitement, have that emotion, and to be touched in our hearts. But where is it going to lead? What are we going to do with it? Are we going to just allow it to go wherever it wants to go and just follow along with the emotion wherever it leads? Many people do. But you see, God also created us with a mind. He created us with a mind. A thinking brain that can control every aspect of our being, of our body. Our mind is in control. Now there are some things that we don't have to think about. Our heartbeat, we don't have to think about that. It's a good thing. That'd be all we do all day. We'd be thinking, beat, 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 beat. What a waste of a life that would be to have to think all day, every day for our whole lives to remind our heart to beat. We don't have to think about that. It's called autonomic reflex. But God created us with this brain that controls not only things like our heartbeat and our breathing and our digestion and things like that that we don't have to think about, But that brain can also control the things that we should have to think about and do have to think about. It controls our head, our arms, our legs, our feet. Controls whether we turn our head, whether we bend down. It controls all of the muscles in our body. That brain also, God created with the power to control our emotions and to guide those emotions to the proper place and to use those emotions in the right way. In Isaiah 1 and verse 18, God makes it clear that He intended us to use that mind that He gave us. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So let's look at the first part. Come and let us reason together. Notice God didn't say, come on and let's feel this out together. God didn't say, come on and let's see how y'all feel about this. He said, let's reason. You see, reasoning comes from the mind. God created that mind and He knows its capability. And He knows that the human mind is capable of reasoning things out, of thinking things through and coming to a logical or reasonable conclusion. 1 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16. Peter says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation with Christ. Notice what he said there in verse 15. We are to be ready to give an answer. And to give it to everybody who asks a reason. You see, he tells us there that Christianity, the hope that we have, is not just an emotional blind faith. There is a reason for it. If there's not a reason for it, then we don't have the right hope. If we have hope only because, well, I feel so good, I know I must be saved. What are we going to do on those days when we don't feel so good? Because nobody feels good all the time. We established in the introduction that we like to feel good, but nobody feels good all the time. We all have bad days where we don't feel happy and upbeat like last year. Having a good time. We just have days like that. Now, if that's all we're basing our Christianity on, we're going to be in trouble if we have several of those days in a row. But if we have a reason, if we have an intellectually defined, logical argument, a basis for why we have hope, if we study the scriptures and we can stand on those promises, as the song says, standing on the promises, I cannot fall. As long as I stand on those promises, I can't fall. The problem we have many times is we're not standing on the promises, we're standing on our feelings. And let me tell you, our feelings can fall. Our feelings can fail. But as long as we stand on the promises of God, that's a firm foundation that we can stand on. We need to be sure we're standing on that. So we see that emotions are not in and of themselves good or bad. It's how they're used. And that God created us with a mind and He expects us to use our intellect as well as our emotions or our feelings. And then third, we want to bring these two things together then. Yes, God created us with emotions and yes, He created us with a mind. Now of those two, which one is supposed to be the deciding factor? Which one's the deciding factor? The feeling, the emotion, or the intellect, the mind? Which one, when it comes right down to it, if there's a conflict between what we know and what we feel, which one wins? You see, throughout the scriptures, the Bible teaches us if we're willing to listen, that our emotions must be governed by the mind. Because those emotions, now the mind can become corrupted as well. The Bible says that God will send some people that do not love the truth, a strong delusion that they'll believe the lie. That means their mind, they believe it. And we've seen people that were so deluded that they were talking to imaginary friends and they thought there was a real person there. We know of people who have heard voices and they believed that those voices were real and they went out and killed people because they believed that delusion. God will allow that to happen to us. But if we will study His Word, use that reasoning capability that He gave us, we can overcome that if we will love the truth. The emotion must be governed by the mind. Let's look at Mark chapter 8, verses 16 through 21, and this is kind of an interesting thing happening here. The disciples are with Jesus, and they're out on the boat, and He's talking to them about how they need to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and the scribes of the Pharisees. And watch out for that leaven of the scribes and Pharisees, Mark 8, 16 through 21. And here He is. He just explained that to them. And then in verse 16, they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. He said, He's telling us to watch out for the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees, so we don't have any bread. Now, see, their fear was governing their mind instead of their reasoning mind controlling their emotions. They're afraid that they're in trouble because they didn't bring any bread with them on the trip. But Jesus, when He knew it, He said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, don't you see? Having ears, don't you hear? And don't you remember when I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets of fragments you took up? 6 and 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments? And they said 7. And He says unto them, how is it that you don't understand? Now they didn't understand. Jesus could make bread out of thin air. If he was wanting physical bread, he didn't care about that. And He said, you should understand this. Don't you remember? That's the mind. Don't you understand? That's the mind. You see, understanding and remembering and knowing these things, perceiving these things, takes not emotion. See, their ability to think was clouded by their emotion. They weren't thinking clearly. If they'd have been thinking clearly, they'd have known. Well, He's not talking about physical food, because He can make that out of nothing. He can. 5 loaves and feed 5,000. 7 loaves, feed 7,000. Feed 4,000. The food wasn't a big deal. But they weren't thinking clearly, because they were allowing their emotions to cloud their judgment. In Ephesians 4, 17 through 23, we see what Paul has to say about the connection between the mind and the emotion. He says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Notice this, then, in verse 18. He says, they're walking. He said, most of the folks out there that aren't Christians are walking in the vanity of their mind. We know the vanity is vain, it's useless, meaningless, and worthless. And why is that? Notice verse 18 what he says. Having the understanding darkened. He says, if we have our understanding darkened, that's a problem. Not a good thing. Then he says, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. And their hearts are blinded by that emotion so that they don't allow the mind to accept any knowledge, and they become ignorant because they're living solely based on those emotions. They're blinded by the heart. And then he goes on to say in verse 19,
who being past feeling, they felt so many feelings that they're past feeling anymore. They can't even have a clear feeling anymore.
Notice what he said.
Being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greed.
So they say that many of those who turn to sexual deviance, in many cases, it's because they have experimented with so many of the different types of sexuality that exist in the world, that they are looking for some new way to find pleasure, some new way to feel good. You see, they're beyond feeling in what would be a normal human relationship. They can't feel good in the normal way, and so they have to turn to something else, to try some other way to get that same emotional high. You see, emotions produce drugs in our body. Epinephrine, adrenaline, all of these various chemicals in our body that act as drugs. And it can become an addiction. Some people are addicted to the emotional high they get. That adrenaline rush or the epinephrine that they receive from a certain feeling. They're addicted to it. That's why so many people like roller coasters and things that scare them, because they get a rush from them. Now, there's nothing wrong with emotions in and of themselves. We established that already. But when we become addicted to those feelings, it becomes a problem. And that's what these people have done. They've gotten beyond past feelings. They couldn't have a normal feeling. And so they turned themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greed. And then he says to those in Ephesus, but ye have not so learned Christ. Notice he didn't say, you have not so experienced or felt. He said, you have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You see, the truth, and to find truth requires teaching. It requires learning. You cannot feel the truth. You cannot emotionally get yourself to a point of truth because those emotions are so unstable. Remember the old thing? If it feels good, do it. A lot of people have done a lot of evil because it felt good. It felt good to Hitler to put people in a gas chamber and kill them. It felt good to Jeffrey Dahmer to eat people. Lots of things feel good to certain people because their mind is corrupt. What we've got to focus on is getting that mind pure. We've got to have that mind right. Notice then what he says then about what we've been taught. That he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. See there again, that the emotional, the desires, they give us the feeling. Boy, doesn't it feel good to bite into a really wonderful dessert? Oh, it feels so good. So many things that are sinful feel good at the time as well. Now, the devil would have been out of business a long time ago if sin didn't feel good. If every time you committed sin, it hurt and it made you miserable and stuff, why people quit doing it? The problem is that for a while it feels good. See, Moses knew that he needed to reject the pleasures of sin. The pleasures, they were enjoyable for a season. But we've got to watch out for that. Feeling. But see, that's the problem. These people were corrupt according to the deceitful lust. He said, you need to put that off. You got to get rid of that and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The renewal in Christ does not come from an emotional experience. It comes from a change in the state of your mind. It comes from believing and knowing and understanding facts, the truth of the gospel. That's where our assurance comes from, not from feeling good, not from emotion. We'll never get there in that way.
again and again when Paul was out preaching, when he was sharing the gospel. He didn't make emotional plays on people. He didn't try to get them to feel good about themselves. What he did in every situation, and I'll mention just a few, in Acts 17, 2 and 3, Paul and his manner was went into them, and three Sabbath days, in other words, 3 weeks, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. In Acts 18, 4 through 6, the scripture that was read just a while ago, and he reasoned in the synagogue. Acts 18 and verse 19, he came to Ephesus and he left them there, but he went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Acts 24 and 25, when Felix and Drusilla came, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he, that's Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. Felix trembled. You see, there was an emotional response to the reasoning. And that's the way, there will be some emotion involved in Christianity. The Bible talks about our emotion. We are to be zealous unto good works. There is to be an emotional aspect to our Christianity, but it doesn't rule. The knowledge, the intellect, the understanding, that where the key to Christianity is. The emotion is just a bonus. It's just an additional feature that we have in Christ. But all of these places, Paul never went in and felt them into Christ. Got them to feel their way into Christianity. In fact, there's only one place in the New Testament where the word feel or any form of it is used in reference to anything other than physically touching something. And we know to call that feeling. But other than that, there's only one place that it's used, and that's in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28. And he says there in verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So I looked up the Greek word there to see what does that word feel mean? And when I looked up the Greek word, lo and behold, what I found was it wasn't talking about emotion. It was talking about someone searching for something. These people were searching in the dark. Searching in the dark. They couldn't use their eyes. They had to feel with their head. And that's literally what it means. To touch, to find some proof of something. That's what they were feeling. To try to find a proof. To try to find some evidence of a particular thing. And that's the only place that it's searching. And yet there again, it's referring to searching and seeking. And notice, that's the terminology he uses in other places along in that same passage. He goes on to explain to them that same God is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. And that we are his offspring. Now, is that something we can feel emotionally? Can we live and move and have our being in God? Can we feel that emotionally? Because everyone, even those who aren't Christian, live and move and have their being through God, in God. He created it all. Without him, no one would have, and yet most people don't recognize that. They don't acknowledge that. They don't understand that. They don't perceive that. Why? Because instead of looking with their mind, they're looking with their emotions. Our emotions will not lead us to truth. Only to what feels good. We must control our emotions and not allow them to control us. It's good to have emotions, but we must keep them under control. Emotion out of control, we saw from the very beginning, causes destruction, death. It must be under control. We saw Paul speak of his brethren, the Jews, who had the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. When we have zeal and enthusiasm with knowledge, then we can be truly pleased together. And there are some people who try to take all emotion out of Christianity, and that's a dry, heartless religion. No one is going to be interested in that. But we must have knowledge with the emotion. And it must be in control. If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation, for whatever reason, whether it be initially to obey Christ, based on a knowledge, again, obedience to the gospel requires knowledge. Why, without the knowledge that God gave us in the Bible, we wouldn't know how to become Christian. You can't feel your way to that. You've got to know what the Bible says. If you're prepared to repent of your sins and confess Christ, be willing to be baptized into Him, wash your sins away. There's no better time than that. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you've relied on your emotions rather than your mind, you may need to correct that. You may need to study first to learn more of Christ. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand.